Praise the Lord. My dear friends, all of us, whatever be our religious convictions, whatever be the religion we belong to, all of us pray in our lives. On various occasions, we pray to God according to the religious convictions. The name we give to God may be different. The ideas each one have about God may also be different. But there is a prayer that comes up from the hearts of every individual, mostly prayers of petition. When we are in need, when we are in danger, when we are alone, when we are frightened, knowingly or even unknowingly, we turn to God with prayer. Prayers of petition. Prayers sometimes come out as a cry for help, a cry of despair, a cry of loneliness. But all the same, these are prayers. The prayers may be addressed or not addressed to God, but from the depths of the heart comes the prayer. Even people who claim not to believe in any God, even those have this deep sighs, prayers coming up from their heart. But very often we do not know how to pray or what to pray. St. Paul the Apostle, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, writes like this: "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." The Spirit praying in us through deep sighs. Prayer is as oxygen for our life, as breath for us to live. Without breathing, we cannot live. Without getting oxygen into the blood, we will not survive for long, maybe a few minutes. The same way, without prayer, we cannot survive, because prayer is the life link between God and man. Even though prayer is so essential, we often forget and we often do not know how to pray. All the religious founders, religious teachers, taught their disciples to pray. And all the religions continue to teach and continue to train the people to pray. We hear the invitation from the Muslim mosques, from the Christian churches, and from the temples, from all religious houses. We hear the invitation again and again, several times during the day, for prayer. And today, I would like to introduce Jesus as a model of prayer, Jesus who taught us to pray. It happened once. The disciples were with Jesus, and the disciples were asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. St. Luke, in his Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1, narrates us the story. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." "Teacher, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Every religious teacher taught his disciples to pray. So the disciples of Jesus also were asking, "Teach us how to pray." In fact, Jesus taught them, both in words and in deeds. The disciples were prompted by the fact that Jesus was praying, prompted to ask for this lesson, "Teacher, teach us to pray," because they saw that Jesus was praying. And this praying, Jesus impressed them so much. They had seen Jesus pray several times. And the disciples observed this prayer, and the evangelists have reported it. It is the Gospel of Luke that presents Jesus in prayer at the most. But all the four evangelists speak about Jesus' prayer. At baptism, that's where the public ministry starts. As the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus was at prayer, Luke 3:21. Immediately after coming out of the waters of baptism, Jesus was at prayer, and then the heavens opened, and the Spirit came down upon him as a dove, and the word of the Father resounded over him. Jesus received the Spirit while at prayer. Before starting the public ministry, Jesus spends 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, alone with God, alone with his Father, in prayer. So Jesus is praying. In prayer, he is preparing himself for the ministry that the Father has entrusted to him. And again, during the public life, almost every day, it seems Jesus was praying. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, tells us this. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And there he prayed. It's not just one act. It seems it was his habit. He used to go out and he used to pray. So Jesus praying early morning. And when the disciples come looking for him, because the crowds were in search of Jesus, they found Jesus at prayer. He gets up before everybody else, and he goes out into a desert, lonely place to pray. So that was the normal practice of Jesus, getting up early in the morning and praying. And sometimes it happens that he spends the whole night at prayer. It is again Luke who tells us that before choosing the 12, that is in chapter 6, he speaks about the choice of the 12 apostles. "Now during those days he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God." The whole night he spent in prayer, because he was going to make a momentous decision in his life. The Jewish leaders had rejected Jesus, and now he is going to choose 12, whom he will call apostles, those sent out. These 12 apostles are going to substitute the 12 tribes of Israel. So the people of Israel, the people of God, is going to take a new shape. And in this momentous decision, Jesus searches the will of the Father. He communes with the Father the whole night. So important a decision made after a whole night of prayer. Towards the middle of the public ministry of Jesus, again we see a reference to Jesus' prayer. It is before the disciples make their messianic confession. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 has this. "Once Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowd say that I am?' Jesus was praying, and the disciples witnessed his prayer." And it is in this context of this prayer that Jesus makes the question. And the second question is asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, as a representative of the disciples, make the confession, "You are the Messiah of God." This confession was elicited in the context of prayer, or The revelation was given to Peter through the mediation of Jesus and his prayer. Again, the same revelation is repeated on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, verse 28, we have this. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. So he goes up to the mountain to pray again at night. And in this context of prayer, the revelation is given. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. So the evangelists say that Jesus was praying again and again, every day, and especially on momentous occasions. We come to the last prayer of Jesus, the last night before his death. And the prayer in Gethsemane, we all know it. We do not have to repeat it again. It is said again and again that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed with intensity, in agony. And in the anguish of his prayer, his sweat became like drops of blood. So with intense prayer, Jesus faces the last moment. The decision is made to accept the will of the Father that takes him to the cross and beyond. So in this prayer, Jesus repeats the same word again and again, as Mark tells us. Repeating the same word, Father, everything is possible for you. Let this cup pass away from me. See, he has only one thing to ask. Let this cup pass away from me. But then he adds, but not as I will, but your will. So in prayer, even the last moment, with the prayer, Jesus is searching the will of the Father. And he is asking for the strength to accept that will, to carry it out. Gospel of John has a long prayer of Jesus reported in chapter 17. So all these will show that Jesus was praying and the disciples were impressed by his prayer. What did Jesus pray for? Jesus was praying for the will of the Father, to know the will of the Father, for the power to surrender his will to the Father's will. Not that he was against the Father, not that he had a will against the Father's will, but as a human being. We know Jesus is 100% man and 100% God, a divine human person. So the human will resists suffering. The human will resists the cross. So the human will has to surrender itself to the divine will. And Jesus is searching for the power, the strength to surrender his will to the Father's will. So that's why he ends his prayer saying, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And we know the last prayer on the cross. Jesus prays on the cross. First of all, he prays for his executioners. Hanging on the cross, he looks down on the people, the leaders, who ridicule him, who challenge him, and mock him. And then Jesus says, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Jesus intercedes for the sinners. Jesus prays that the Father forgive all. It's not only the religious Jewish leaders at the foot of the cross. He is praying for the entire humanity, for you and for me. Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. And the last word Jesus uttered on this earth was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Committing one spirit to his Father. That was the last word. So right from the beginning to the end, the life of Jesus was permeated through prayer. That's why the disciples requested, Teacher, teach us to pray. Jesus taught them by his examples. Jesus asked them also to pray. He not only taught them how to pray, but he demanded also they pray. Their prayer with faith. Jesus said, you should pray with faith, knowing, believing that your Father knows your need. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells the disciples how to pray, with what attitude one should pray. The curious incident of the cursing of the barren fig tree and its withering is reported in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. In verse 20, it is said, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and be thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done to you. So believe. With faith we pray. At the same time, another thing, another attitude is demanded in the same passage. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Pray with faith, pray forgiving offenses of others. Jesus taught them to pray without ceasing. Two parables are reported in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 11, verses 5 to 10, tells the parable of the importunate friend who goes and wakes up the friend at midnight asking for some bread for a guest who came to him on the way. And we know the story. The friend from inside says, please don't disturb me. My children are with me. We are all in bed. I cannot get up and give you food now. But the friend at the door goes on asking and knocking. And finally, fed up with this disturbance, the one inside decides to get up and give the food. So this is what you should do, Jesus said. Don't give up. Don't get fed up with prayer. Even if when your prayer is not heard, even if apparently the prayer is falling on deaf ears, don't give up. Continue praying. The same idea, same teaching is imparted through the parable of the widow and the wicked judge in Luke 18, 1 to 8. Go on praying. So Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Search and you shall find, and knock, the doors will be opened to you. May not be at the first knock, but go on knocking till the doors are opened. Go on searching till you find. Go on asking till you receive. So persistence, perseverance, pray with faith, pray forgiving, pray with confidence that the Lord knows all that you need. So don't give up, don't get tired. That is the lesson Jesus gives. And now, how to pray? What to pray? That's what Jesus said. Jesus taught in what we call the Lord's Prayer. So in the next session, we will deal with this Lord's Prayer, the prayer Jesus taught. Let us now close with a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for listening to us. Without you, we are nothing. Without your Spirit, we cannot live. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
This program comes to you from the House of God, Divine Retreat Center, where residential retreats are held in 7 languages starting every Sunday to Friday, 52 weeks of the year. Send your responses, inquiries, and prayer requests to the Director, Divine Vision, Divine Retreat Center, Murignur, Chalakudi, 680316, Kerala, South India. Telephone 91480-270-8098. Email divine@md2.vsnl.net.in.